Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. O leaders of the assembly, you know best who is a fit candidate for being honoured. Therefore, you should not heed the words of a child when he claims that Krishna deserves to be worshipped. Text 33 and 34. Tapo vidya pratadhan jnana vidvashtakalnashan paramashin brahmanishtal lokapala chaturjitam sadaspatin atikramyam gopala kulaham sanaha yata karaka purodasam sapariyam katamahati. How can you pass over the most exalted members of this assembly, topmost sages dedicated to the absolute truth, endowed with powers of austerity, divine insight and strict adherence to severe vows, sanctified by knowledge and worship even by the rulers of the universe? How does this cowherd boy, the disgrace of his family, deserve your worship any more than a crow deserves to eat the sacred Purodasha rice cake. Therefore, the great commentator Sridhar Swami has analysed Shishupal's words as follows. The term Gopala means not only cowherd, but also protector of the Vedas and the earth. Similarly, Kula Pamshana has a double meaning. Shishupal intended it to mean the disgrace of his family, which is his meaning when divided as above, but the word may also be analysed as Kulapam Amshana, giving a totally different meaning. Kulapam indicates those who prattle with crooked words contrary to the Vedas, and Amshana, derived from the verb Amshayati, means destroyer. In other words, he was praising Lord Krishna as he who vanquishes all misguided and frivolous speculations about the nature of truth. Similarly, although Shishupal wanted to compare Lord Krishna to a crow with the words yatakaha, that's what a crow does. These words may also be divided yatakaha. In that case, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the word kaka is a combination of ka and aka. Ka and aka, which indicate material happiness and misery. Thus, Lord Krishna is akaka in the sense that he is beyond all material misery and happiness, being on the pure transcendental platform. Swami Shishupal was right in saying the Lord Krishna does not deserve merely the Purodasha rice cake offered to the lesser demigods as a substitute for the heavenly beverage Soma. In fact, Lord Krishna deserves to receive everything that we possess. Who's got their phone on? Tell me what that idea, turn the phone off because it's going to... Hear that noise? That's mobile phones humming and buzzing. In fact, Lord Krishna deserves to receive everything that we possess, since he is the ultimate proprietor of everything. Yeah, that's the one. Including ourselves. Thus, we should give Lord Krishna our life and soul, not merely a ritualistic offering of rice cakes. Om Ajnanamirandasya Gananjana Sarakaya Chakshurum Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaheyam Vidatitsva Padantikam Mukam karo vivatsalam Mandhum langyayate girim Yatripata maham vande Shri Guru Nindin Sarasinam. We have a very distinct contrast in personalities here. In the beginning of this chapter, Maharaj Yudhisthira demonstrates the mood of a devotee. Very, very humble, very, very truthful and honest in his dealings, and totally dedicated to Krishna. Totally submissive to Krishna, totally aware of his position in relationship with the Lord. And then you can, that's contrasted here with the character of Shishupal, who is highly critical, highly envious, and inimical to Krishna. Maharaj Yudhisthira was embarrassed that Krishna was his, acting as his servant. Every exalted personality within the creation takes your instructions and your directions on their head. In other words, every exalted personality within the creation, anybody who knows what's what, takes your instructions as their life and soul. Most serious. They take it very seriously. Especially when receiving those instructions is such a rare occurrence, rare opportunity. Sāmahātma sudūlabhā is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Manushinam sahasreshu kaschin yambiti tapataha. Hardly one knows Krishna. So the great sages and very exalted personalities, when they receive Krishna's instructions, Krishna's association is rarely achieved. It's not available for everybody. For the majority of living entities within the creation, they're all living in ignorance. They don't get the opportunity to receive such exalted instructions, advice, guidance. The Maharaj Yudhisthira was saying, you know, everybody acts in accordance to your instructions, yet on some in this case, because of the affectionate relationship that Krishna has with the Pandavas, who are his friends, then instead of them acting on Krishna's instruction, Krishna is acting on their instructions. So he's saying, you know, we're presenting ourselves as great big rulers. We're the big rulers of the universe. Well, not of the universe, at least of our planet. Because, you know, at this stage, Arjuna and Bhima and Nakula and Sahadeva, they've all gone out over the planet and they've just killed Jarasandha, so he was the last obstacle, really, in the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice. And but now they've conquered all of the kings. And so it appears they're the rulers of the planet. Even here we've got the demigods coming to their kingdom, to their palace, to participate in the Rajasuya. So it appears as if they're, you know, they're very exalted personalities. But Maharaj Yudhisthira, in the mood of a humble devotee, he's embarrassed by that. He says, you know, we're acting as if we're the big kings, but actually you're the personality who the great, exalted and wise persons follow. You're the person who we should be dedicated to. Not that you're running around looking after our paltry desires. It's very embarrassing for him as a devotee. So he's saying here to Krishna, you know, we presume ourselves to be rulers, and on that pretext, then you go and you serve us. But I said, we're not the great rulers. You're the, you know, he understands, the devotee understands. Even though Krishna accepts the role of an ordinary human being, where he appears as an ordinary person, the devotees understand his special position. And of course, this is Krishna's greatest quality, that he's Bhakta Vatsala, he's the friend of his devotees, and he's happy to serve the devotees. Of course, he also says, but you know, whatever you do, your position is never diminished, nor is it increased, because you're transcendental. Whatever Krishna does, it doesn't affect his position. So whether he's a servant of his devotees or whether his devotees are serving him, he still remains transcendent. You know, whether he's destroying the demons or performing his, you know, rasa-lila, affectionate relations, dealings with the residents of Vrindavan, he still remains transcendent. He's not affected by these apparent contradictions. Your Prabhupada mentions about the Sahajiyas. The Sahajiyas don't like to read the Bhagavad Gita, because this is, you know, Krishna destroying the demons. Too much killing. But they like to go to the Rasa Lila, you know, the most intimate portion of the 10th canto of the Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada makes the point that, you know, Krishna, whether he's killing the demons, whether it's generation, or whether it's destruction, doesn't matter. Krishna remains transcendental. He's transcendent. Not affected by the external manifestation of his pastimes. So it's interesting to note Maharaj Yudhisthira is very humble and mild-mannered submissiveness, actually, is submissiveness to Krishna. Then you contrast that with Shishupal, you know, who's like the epitome of spitefulness, if you like. So he's standing up now. There's a disagreement in the beginning of the Rajasuya sacrifice, because the saints and sages there are not able to ascertain who should receive the Agra Puja, or the beginning Puja. Who's the topmost personality? So what's happened is that Nakula, was it Nakula or Sahadev, I think it was, he's spoken up. Yeah. And he's glorified Krishna. Certainly it is a tutor, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and chief of the Yadavas, who deserves the highest position. And it's interesting, actually, because there were many, many exalted personalities. If you read the list of persons that Maharaj Yudhisthira has appointed as the Yajaman and so forth in the Jagya, then it's a list of Krishna Dvapayana. So who does that? That's Vyasadeva, Bharadvaja, Sumantu and others, Vasishta, Chayavan, Kanda, Maitreya, Vishvamitra, So very exalted, elevated rishis and sages. Of course, this is why Sushupala is complaining, because he's saying, hang on a second, there's all these elevated personalities here, and you've chosen Krishna, who's just a cowherd boy. But the interesting thing to note is that Sahadev made this statement, the statements of the supremacy of Krishna, and the saints and sages didn't object. Right? They didn't object. Couldn't this have been done at another time? Okay. So, but Shishupala was being very, as is mentioned here, Shishupala was being very devious, actually. He wanted to disrupt the performance of the Rajasuya sacrifice so that Yudhishthira's attempt to establish himself as the supreme ruler was thwarted. But the rishis and sages didn't object to the statements of Sahadeva, even though Sahadeva was being criticized by Shishupala as being just a young boy. He was called here, Bala Bhakyaya Vibhidhite. So, just seeing the influence of the time factor. Nobody can overcome the influence of time. Prabhupada said, you know, death is God. Well, Krishna says death is God. And the time factor is the insurmountable effect of one's karma, which ultimately will lead one to the point of death. Everybody ultimately is devoured by the Lord in the form of death. So, Shishupala was saying, just see the inevitability, the power of our karma. It has brought about this situation where all of these great sages and rishis have become bewildered by the instructions of a young boy, Sahadev. But the reality is that Sahadev actually understands. Much like Maharaj Yudhishthira, he understands the position of Krishna. And in fact, that was Maharaj Yudhishthira's whole purpose. The purpose for performing the Rajasuya sacrifice wasn't so much for him to establish himself as the king, but rather it was an opportunity for him to worship Krishna in front of all of the assembled sadhus, sages, rishis, in front of his citizens, his subjects, so that he could demonstrate that Krishna is the person to whom everybody should surrender. And the fact that the sages and rishis were silent when Sahadeva was making this statement was confirmation of this point. You know, they say silence is consent. That's what happened when, what happened now? We stopped. Why did you stop?
Took the
time.
Huh?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Why didn't somebody think of that earlier? So, Shishupala is appealing to the sages and the rishis. You know who is the most exalted amongst you. Of course, they couldn't agree before. Now the statement's been made, he's appealed to them. He wants to disrupt the judgment. Of course, he can't tolerate the fact that Krishna is being recognized as the most exalted personality. And so therefore he's making these statements. But as Sridhar Swami has quoted here, Shishupala's statements of criticism are actually a glorification. He's saying, you're just a cowherd boy, what do you know? Why are you so exalted? But Sridhar Swami has explained, Gopala doesn't mean only cowherd boy, it also means the protector of the Vedas and the earth. So actually, Shishupala's words of criticism are actually words of glorification. Even Shishupala is being engaged in Krishna service here. Gopala Kula Pamsana, which has a double meaning. It meant, in his context, you are the disgrace of your family. But in the context of the commentators, it gives a totally different meaning. Kula Pamsana can also be understood as one who vanquishes all misguided and frivolous speculations about the nature of truth. Now, Sisakal will appeal them to the sages and rishis. But actually, he was the one who was playing with word jugglery. He was the one who was presenting crooked words. And of course, we'll see later on that Krishna dispatches Shishupala rather swiftly. So rather than being the disgrace of his family, actually, the real meaning is that Krishna is one who vanquishes all of the misguided and frivolous speculations about the nature of truth. And then there's another example here, Yatarkakaha. You're just like a crow, as Krishna is blackish. So it's an insult. So, it's interesting to compare the mentality of Shishupala and the mentality of Sahadeva and Maharaj Yudhisthira. In that, Maharaj Yudhisthira wants to offer everything to Krishna, to the nature of a devotee. And Sahadev also is encouraging all the members of the assembly to recognize Krishna as the supreme personality. He's mentioned here. The entire universe is founded upon him, as are the great sacrificial performances with their sacred fires, oblations and mantras. Sankhya and Yoga both aim toward him, the one without a second. Our assembly members, that unborn Lord, relying solely on himself, creates, maintains and destroys this cosmos by his personal energies. And thus the existence of this universe depends on him alone. He creates the many activities of this world, and thus by his grace, the whole world endeavours for the ideals of religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. Therefore we should give the highest honour to Krishna, the Supreme Lord. If we do so, we will be honouring all living beings and also our own selves. Now, when he made all of these statements, then the response of the sages and rishis was, sadhu, sadhu. But, you know, in Western culture, we all clap. I think in most cultures, we clap. You know. So it's the equivalent of clapping. You know, sadhu, sadhu means excellent, excellent. Because this recognition of Krishna is completely, it's an adjutant for Shishupala. He can't tolerate Krishna being praised and glorified in such a manner. And so therefore his inimical character, his inimical nature, his enviousness of Krishna can't be suppressed. Is the nature of a demon. The nature of a demon is to be antagonistic and unsubmissive to the desires and wishes of the Lord and also the desires and wishes of the great devotees, saintly persons, sages and rishis. So the sages and rishis have all agreed, yes, Krishna is the person who should be worshipped. But the nature of the demon is to ignore and avoid Krishna's instructions and to act in a contrary fashion. It's the nature of the demoniac. To act in a very proud and arrogant fashion. So that's what's happening now is that Shishupala, even though he's speaking as if a learned person. He's actually quoting the Vedas. So he's speaking as if he's authorized, but his statements are indicative of his mentality that he's actually an offender. So, Krishna is setting the scene here for the demise of Shishupala in that he will be dealt with in due course. And it goes on.
I might finish here. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
We use the word all glories to him. All glories, instead of saying excellent excellence.
Yeah.
We say all glories to
joy. Joy for the sketch we did.
We're not accustomed to saying sadhu, sadhu, but that's the Vedic. The Vedic method. It's the method of the Vaishnavas. What time are we having our... what time are we starting the parade today? Sorry. You had a question?
Yes.
Yes, sorry. Starting at 10:30 outside of Gopal's, right? So that means everybody's going to have to leave here probably about 4:30. How long is it going to take to pack all of this stuff?
15 minutes.
Okay. Everybody should wear their sunblock. Extremely warm. We could probably not put it on right now.